I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
The Savior's come in his mighty power and spoken peace to my soul. And all of my life from that very hour I yield it to his control. I yield it to his control. Oh, it is wonderful, it is marvelous and wonderful. But Jesus has come for the soul of all. The heart has never been filled at all. Never been told. It is wonderful,
it is wonderful,
it is marvelous and wonderful.
Thank you, choir, for that wonderful song of praise. It is indeed marvelous and wonderful to know the peace that God alone can give to us as His children. And it's wonderful that you've joined me today for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel media ministry. We broadcast our Bible teaching programs in English and 21 other major languages to many places around the world. One of those places is the country of Nepal, where our Bible teaching programs are aired in the Nepali language. Here's a testimony from a listener in that mountainous Asian country. He writes, "I am not a believer and have never attended a church service, but I really love this Heralds of Hope program. If churches were still open today, I would have gone to associate with these people. Thank you for providing us with such an important spiritual lesson in this tumultuous time. This program is one that I enjoy and listen to on a regular basis." So here's a listener who, because of the COVID restrictions in his country, would like to go to church, but he can't. But you can minister to him when you partner with us by the way of his radio or his cell phone. He has heard the gospel, and he'd like to find fellowship with a local church. Praise God. Our prayer is that God will bring this listener to the place where he receives Jesus as his Savior and Lord.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more, want no more. Feed
till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing waters flow. Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield, be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the swelling current, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, I will ever give to thee, give to thee. I will ever give to thee.
Last week on The Voice of Hope, we began a study titled, Getting the Word Heard. By God's grace, I plan to complete that study on today's broadcast. Our text is Colossians chapter 4 and verses 2 through 6. During the previous program, I said that this text contains several elements we must consider if we want to be effective in getting the word heard. We looked at two of those elements last week. The first one was communion with God, or prayer. How does prayer impact the hearing of the word? And then the second element was clarity. We use words that the audience can understand when we share the gospel. Now, in a few moments, we'll look at two more elements that are important in getting the word heard. But before we do that, I want to read the text, Colossians chapter 4 and verses 2 through 6. So listen carefully as I read the Word of God. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. The next element, then, in getting the word heard is conduct. In the English language, we have a saying, what you do speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. So a person's conduct and character have much to do with whether or not people will listen to what he or she has to say. When I was a younger man, there was a popular bumper sticker that said, honk if you love Jesus. So a lady is driving on a busy street, and she pulls up behind this car at a traffic light. She reads the bumper sticker, and she taps the horn. And an angry man jumps out of the car in front of her and yells, lady, what's the matter with you? Can't you see the light is still red? You know, I cringe sometimes when I see how people drive, and then they have some kind of Christian message on their vehicle. To my own shame, my wife has already asked me, after my wrong response to a driver on the highway, if we meet that person at the next rest area, will they be interested in hearing about your Jesus? Ouch. Or what about the neighbor who's always asking to borrow your tools? Or the guy who consistently tries to tune up his Harley when it's time for your Sunday afternoon nap? How are you going to respond to those kinds of things? Will your conduct make him more receptive to the gospel or less receptive? Paul says we are to walk wisely before those who are outside the family of God. So he makes a distinction between us and unbelievers. And Jesus did the same thing in Mark chapter 4 and verse 11. He made a distinction between his disciples and those who weren't his disciples. We who are born again are, in a sense, spiritual insiders because we belong to God's family and we actually share his life. But you know, we must never become proud of our position in Christ. We must never give those who are outside of God's family the impression that we are somehow superior to them, because some of them already have that feeling. You and I were just like them before God rescued us from the slave market of sin at the cost of Jesus' blood. You and I are sinners saved by grace. And the whole point of this text is that we are to be sharing with others how they can experience the same transformation that we have through Jesus, how they too can make Jesus preeminent in their lives. So what does it mean to walk wisely before unbelievers? Walking refers to our conduct, which we've been talking about. You've probably experienced this. Many unbelievers seem to know instinctively how a Christ follower ought to live. So when a high-profile Christian leader is caught in major moral failure, then the unbelievers mock. Here is someone who claimed to speak for God, and he's discovered to be doing the same thing the unbelievers are doing, or worse. And you know, that jeopardizes the testimony of all believers. The story is told about Dr. Will Houghton, who pastored the Calvary Baptist Church in New York City, and then later on served as president of Chicago's Moody Bible Institute until he died in 1946. When Dr. Houghton became pastor of the Baptist Tabernacle in Atlanta, Georgia, a man in that city hired a private detective to follow Dr. Houghton and report on his conduct. After a few weeks, the detective reported to his client that Dr. Houghton's life matched what he preached. And as a result, that man became a Christ follower. Walking in wisdom means being careful in what we say and do. It means consciously trying to avoid those actions that will hinder others from hearing the message that we proclaim. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 16, Paul was defending himself before the Roman governor Felix from the charges of the Jewish leaders, and in response to their accusations, he made this statement: "I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and man." Paul didn't want anything he did or said to give others a reason to disregard the message he was preaching. We know he was falsely accused by his detractors, and you and I may experience that too, but we should still strive to live a life that is above reproach. Another area of conduct we as Christ followers need to work on is being more loving in our presentation of the truth. Some of you will remember several years ago, the Westboro Baptist Church from Topeka, Kansas. They became infamous for their anti-homosexual protests at the funerals of fallen U.S. service members. And in those protests, they carried signs with messages like this: "God hates homosexuals," and "Thank God for dead soldiers." And they also vilified Jews and Mormons and Catholics. Now, this group has been denounced by many churches and organizations because of their hateful rhetoric. And surely we know that God doesn't hate sinners. God doesn't approve of any sin, regardless of what form it takes. But he loves all people. That's what John 3:16 to 18 tells us. It leaves no doubt of this fact: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In getting the word heard, you and I need to learn how to use God's love to guide our conduct. Some of you may be familiar with the name Rosaria Butterfield. She was a tenured professor of English and women's studies at Syracuse University, and she was also a practicing lesbian. In her book, The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert, she tells the story of her journey to personal saving faith in Jesus that happened back in 1999. And she shares how God used a humble couple's simple invitation to dinner to draw her, she was a radical, committed unbeliever, to Jesus. She was drawn to Jesus through this couple. And that couple reached out to her as a human being loved by God, and that helped to break down her perception that Christ followers were hate-filled bigots. The message of the gospel is already offensive. Jesus and the apostles said it would be so. But we don't need to make it more offensive by unchristlike responses to the sinful practices of those around us. We must learn, and I include myself in this, we must learn to see past the sometimes repulsive exterior of a person to see the deeper needs of the heart and soul. And we must surely keep in mind this fact, except for the grace of God, there go I. Then Paul further reminds us that this walking in wisdom includes redeeming the time. That means buying up opportunities that come our way for personal witnessing. Here, Paul uses a commercial term. Just like a businessman seizes a bargain when he sees one, so a Christ follower seizes the opportunity to share the message of Christ's love with the lost. He knows that both his time and the time of the person he's witnessing to, they're both limited. I'm sure there's more we could discuss about how important this element of conduct is in getting the word heard. But let's move on to the final element, then, in getting the word heard. It is conversation. You know, while our conduct is vitally important as we walk before unbelievers, it's not a substitute for talking to them and sharing the gospel message verbally. I read about a man who got saved as a young adult, and he was so excited about Christ for the first couple of weeks, he was telling everybody the difference that Jesus had made in his life. And then one Sunday night, he was at his church, and they were singing. They sang the song, Rescue the Perishing. And he heard that song, and he got so excited that as soon as the service was over, he rushed to the pastor and he said, Pastor, I'm ready. And the pastor looked at him rather quizzically and said, Ready for what? He said, Man, I'm ready to go rescue the perishing. Let's do it. And the pastor looked at him and said, Well, that's not something we really do. That's just a song we sing. Sadly, that pastor's response is all too common today. And yet Paul asks the question in Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And by the way, Paul wasn't referring exclusively to the clergy. The word translated as preacher is keruso, literally a herald or a messenger. And then furthermore, Paul states in 2 Corinthians 5:20, Now then, we, that's you and I as Christ followers, are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So you and I have already been authorized to be Christ's ambassadors, his representatives, to tell the world the good news of salvation through him. In this context, Paul addresses the importance of how we do that. He writes, Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Our speech will only be gracious if we have grace in our hearts. And Paul spoke about that in chapter 3 and verse 16, he said, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Here you have the combination of teaching, admonishing, and singing, all done with grace in your heart. And Jesus said, and I paraphrase, What is in the heart will come out of the mouth. And then Paul says metaphorically that our speech should be seasoned with salt. What does that mean? Salt has been used for thousands of years as a preservative and a flavor enhancer. And it seems to me that the second use is especially in view here. The Greek philosopher Plutarch said, Many call salt charis or grace, because when it is mixed with most things, it makes them more agreeable and pleasant to the taste. Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 support this idea by telling us to speak the truth in love. As Christ followers, you and I can hold firmly to our biblical convictions without being rude or obnoxious. Let me ask you, how willing are you to listen to someone whose language is rude or coarse? Not so much, right? So why should we expect others to listen to us if we talk that way? Instead, we need to learn and model the speech of Jesus as he spoke in the synagogue there in his hometown of Nazareth. Luke records this for us. He wrote, "So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." So you see, our walk and our talk are both important. Our conduct and our conversation are mutually supportive. They must agree. Add to this the two earlier elements of getting the word heard. The first one was communion, that is, prayer, and then clarity, making the message plain and understandable so that all can truly hear. My friend, I confess, this portion of Scripture has convicted me. By God's grace and enabling, I will be more faithful in communion with my Heavenly Father, in intercession for the lost. And I will continue working to bring clarity to the message of the gospel as I proclaim it here each week on this program. And then by His grace and enabling, I will strive to conduct myself in a way that will not bring reproach on the name of Christ and will not hinder my witness for Him. And I will be more diligent in taking advantage of the opportunities to give verbal witness to the gospel. If you're willing to join me in those commitments, will you pray with me now? Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us so clearly from your word. I pray for myself and for the listener who is joining me in prayer. Will you enable us by your Holy Spirit, by your grace and power, to cultivate these elements that are so essential in getting your word heard? Thank you for hearing and answering our prayer, because we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We are ambassadors for Christ the Savior. We tell the story, give God the glory. Our home is far away on heaven's shore. We're here on business for the King.
We are ambassadors for Jesus, pilgrims in a barren land. Our home is waiting over yonder upon a happy golden strand.
Here is our Lord's command to every nation: turn from your sorrow, seek God's tomorrow. Look to a better day, it's surely dawning. We're here on business for the King.
We are ambassadors for Jesus. We're pilgrims in a barren land. Our home is waiting over yonder upon a happy golden strand.
We're here to tell about heaven's bright city, led by the Savior, seeking His favor. Eternal joy awaits for all the saved ones. We're here on business for the King.
We are ambassadors for Jesus. We're pilgrims in a barren land. Our home is waiting over yonder upon a happy golden strand.
My friend, were you blessed by today's teaching? If so, we invite you to respond. Perhaps you have a question or a testimony of a time when you shared Christ with someone. Or maybe you heard something you disagree with and you'd like to comment on that. We welcome your feedback. The easiest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or by calling us toll-free 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your comment to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. If you'd like to review today's program or listen to previous programs, you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to them at your convenience. And while you're at our website, you can sign up for email alerts or for our newsletter, or for notifications about a new blog post. There are also links there to help you learn more about Heralds of Hope. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. Now, once again, you may contact us by email at this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. And you can leave a comment on today's teaching, Getting the Word Heard, or you can request a copy of this complete teaching, either in print or on an audio CD. We invite you to help support this ministry financially by donating online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. And you can also mail your gift to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. We depend on God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, to enable The Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Your donation will make an eternal difference in someone's life today. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week as we continue our study in the book of Colossians. And until we meet again, remember what Jesus has done for you and me.
This is how we know true love. Jesus gave his life for others. This is how we show true love. We should give our life for our brothers.
He gave his life for you. He gave his life for me. He gave his life for you. He gave his life for me.
Love is demonstrated, feigned and underrated. Love is demonstrated again. Love from everlasting, love all else surpassing, love to everlasting again.
God so loved,
gave his Son.
Jesus
loved, gave his life. This is how we know true love. Jesus gave his life for others. This is how we show true love. We should give our life for our brothers.
He gave his
life for you.
He gave his
life for me.
He gave his
life for you.
He gave his
life for me. Love with great compassion, when love was not in fashion, love showed great compassion again.